I love that your advice came from a CEO, a head of HR, or, you know, your mom, no offense, mom, but like, it's, I think it's so great to have a mentor who is, in that chief executive officer level role, because they can really help give you insights into what they want, and need from their HR person and their partner in business.
Welcome to the Workology Podcast, a podcast for the disruptive workplace leader. Join host Jessica Miller Merrill, founder of Workology.com, as she sits down and gets to the bottom of trends, tools, and case studies for the business leader, HR, and recruiting professional who is tired of the status quo. Now here's Jessica with this episode of Workology.
Hey there, and welcome to the Workology Podcast, powered by ACE, the HR Exam, and Upskill HR. These are two of the courses I offer for HR certification prep and recertification for HR leaders. This podcast is part of a series on the Workology Podcast focused on the roles and responsibilities of the Chief Human Resources Officer, or CHRO. The CHRO is sometimes called the VP of People or the Chief People Officer, and it is an executive or C-level role that deals with managing change, human resources, as well as organizational development. It's really designed to help improve the overall efficiency of the company. The CHRO podcast series on Workology is sponsored by HR Benchmark Survey. Share your insights at hrbenchmarksurvey.com. One of the reasons I have wanted to do this series, because there is so much mystery around that CHRO role, and I want aspiring CHROs to know the types of skills and experiences they need to promote into that future CHRO role, along with hearing from senior HR leaders, our peers, find out how we're partnering and collaborating with our executive peers. So before I introduce our guest, I want to hear from you. Please text the word podcast to 512-548-3005. Ask questions, leave comments, and make suggestions for future guests. This is my community text number, and I want to hear from you. Today, I'm joined by Gabrielle Lorenzani, People Operations Consultant and founder of Gabrielle Lorenzani Consultant. Gabrielle has spent more than a decade as a strategic people leader and operator in CPG, ad tech, and health tech at companies in various stages, from global Fortune 500 to early stage and hyper growth startup. She now works with clients to design and execute people and talent strategies based on their goals and grounded in their values. Gabby, welcome to the Workology Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start with some background about how you got your start in HR and how your work has evolved into launching your own consultancy.
Yeah. So I when I talk to a lot of people, oftentimes folks say they kind of fell into it. This was very much an intentional career choice for me. When I graduated, I was all about looking for entry-level HR roles, and I got really lucky with my first job out of college. So I graduated in 2010. The economy was still not in a great place, from the 2008 recession. So I applied to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of jobs, only landed two interviews, of which I got one job, and it happened to be, at a company called, now called Danone North America, but for us in the US, we're probably familiar with the brand Danon. It's a yogurt brand. And that's where I started my career on the HR business partner team, essentially as an HR coordinator. And really that what was supposed to be my first job out of college, I was like, it's probably just going to be here for about a year, turned into almost 7-year career, which really ended up defining the type of HR work that I wanted to do. It informed the approach I wanted to take as a people leader, and then ultimately influence the type of experiences I wanted to have afterwards. And so how that really kind of evolved over time, but really grounded in my experience at Danone North America was one, working for companies that are mission driven. So I have to feel this like connection, and it's always been what I've looked for. Second, progressive HR. It's like before I even knew what progressive HR was, like I'm so grateful that my first experience in HR was at Danone, because that's all I know. I don't know kind of this back office hidden, like they just kind of push paper around experience. And then third, really understanding and having a connection with the business. And so that's really been what's informed my career since then, moving, kind of getting my foot in the door into tech when I moved to Austin, Texas, and then ultimately joining my most recent company as their head of HR as in a health tech startup. And so all of these experiences really, really taught me that I love consultative HR. I love being able to, and particularly as like a business partner, kind of growing up in that space, really understanding the business and being able to strike this right balance of how can we leverage our people in order to make a difference, whatever it is that we're doing as a company, whether it's delivering great healthcare or providing really nutritious, you know, food to as many people as possible, whatever it is. And so now as a consultant, what I love is I have this like great breadth rather than, you know, really going deep into a certain industry or a certain company or product or service. I get to have this really cool breadth across different industries and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
I'm glad that you didn't have to deal with the non-progressive HR role. I'll tell you a quick story. Yeah. I worked for Home Depot and they transferred me while I was on vacation to this one store. They had a store HR store person go out on leave of absence. The store manager, my first day there was banging on my wall because we shared the same wall. And he banged on my wall and he said, HR, get me some coffee.
Oh, no.
I walked in and I used some profanity and that was how I, and of course it's retail home improvement. It's a different space. This is, you know, a few years ago, but I set the tone and he never asked me for coffee again. I don't know if it was real expectation or just some, you know, asshole move. That's a small example of, and that store was a mess. It had 20 EEOC claims and like a class action lawsuit stemming from that location. So, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun, but, I love that you're real intentional, about that because I think that that's really truly how we can really make an impact. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What skills and experiences do you believe are absolute requirements for the CHRO or HR leadership role? Especially thinking maybe for someone who's just started out in the industry. I know that you've spent a lot of time as like a chief people officer. You've recently left that role and are now coming out as a consultant with your consultancy. I think you'll have a different perspective. I think maybe that people who are in the trenches right now maybe haven't considered.
Yeah, I think first and foremost is we have to understand the business first. So, you know, I think being able to speak at a high level about what the business does and what its mission is and who its customers are, like that's important, but really understanding the why behind it, understanding, you know, not only being able to recite like OKRs or objectives, but understanding why they're really important to drive the business. I think that's first and foremost. I think the second skill that's really important is influencing. So you know this better than I do that a lot of times CHROs and HR leaders, we're not really the final decision makers in a lot of things. So what we have is our ability to influence, and underneath that is the relationships that we're building, the trust and credibility that we have with the decision makers. And so really the ability to influence is really like the outcome. And underneath that is all those things I just mentioned. And then the third that I think is really important is, and I think this will be a game changer in kind of the HR leadership space, is really taking a user-led or design thinking approach when it comes to designing people and talent strategies and ultimately programs. It is how companies, I think, will really make the difference and ultimately differentiate themselves from a culture perspective. And that's how they'll be able to retain their best talent. I think that by far, we've got a lot of work to do for companies to glom onto that, but I think that will be game changing.
I love that you mentioned that, especially design thinking. It's been a while since we've done a podcast where you've talked about design thinking. So I'll make sure to link in the show notes. We have a couple different podcast interviews where we have focused on design thinking, but it's been, oh gosh, probably 3 years, I think, since I have focus on that area. But I definitely think that focusing on employees as your customers to really understand and then creatively kind of think outside the box, if I can use a buzzword bingo, but really truly thinking outside the box in terms of how to help support those customers, which in this case are employees, and make the work experience better.
Yes, completely. I would say in the last 5 years, that's the greatest gift that I've been given from a prior HR leader was getting the entire HR organization. We did a massive investment in training on design thinking and how we can apply that. And I really believe it will change the way that we do work.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk about your current role as a consultant and how that maybe differs from your previous leadership roles in human resources.
Yeah, on one hand, and this is a good thing for me, it hasn't differed like in the ways that really matter for me. So what has differed, and I think it's great, is I have a lot more flexibility. So I can decide what work I want to do. Whereas when I was in-house, I didn't have as much autonomy over necessarily. There were a lot more kind of competing priorities. So I get to decide the type of work I want to do. There's obviously a lot of much more flexibility with, I'm a mom, I have a three-year-old. And so that certainly helps. But where I think it's really what I love about what's actually very the same is it still gives me the ability to do the work that I really want to do. And that's what I'm really excited about. And so, the reason why I say that is I think what makes a really great HR leader is someone who's like consultative, someone who has a point of view, someone who has a conviction behind something, and like proactively shares that whether or not they were invited to do so. And so that's what I love about consulting and the type of work I want to do is still having space to be able to do that. Granted, it's a little bit different because I'm not, I'm not an employee of the company. There certainly is like just stuff I'm going to have to do having a client, but that part I think has been the same. And I'm actually really excited about that.
The flexibility is one of my favorite parts. I talked about this on a Facebook post actually this week, because it was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night and I was working, but I was working because I took the day off. And my daughter, who is virtual schooled, and me went and got hair appointments and spent some time together.
Oh, fine.
And it's a whole day situation for me and my hair. My daughter is the same, but you have the flexibility. Like I didn't have to pretend to send an email at 4:30 and schedule it. So I made it look, or buy one of those mouse movers that everybody has so that Slack and Teams show that they're on. Like, I told my team yesterday on the team call, I was like, hey, you don't need to respond to my message at 9 o'clock at night. Not that anybody was doing that, but I just wanted to iterate. Like when I send you a message at 10 PM, my time, I don't have the expectation, that you'll respond. So don't feel like, it needs to be that way. But when you're the boss of your own business, you can create the culture, that you want. It's hard and scary as hell. But it's moments like those that I really love the flexibility.
Yeah, I love that you got to spend that time with your daughter.
Yeah, she's such a good kid. What is your approach to consulting and how you work with business leaders? Because I know you focus a lot on early stage HR teams. So let's talk about that whole process because I love this part.
Yeah. So oftentimes, like what I'm finding is like early stage is typically meaning kind of one of two things. It's either they have a newer head of HR, maybe this is their first kind of head of role, or like a newer people ops manager, or they're kind of like the founding HR team, and they're a team of one or two and they're scaling really quickly. And so really how I work with those folks is it's really the same. Which one is like helping me understand one, the business, two, like what their mid, like kind of short and midterm goals are. Because I think in the startup world, like I'd love to say, like, I really want to know what the like short, mid, and long-term plan is. But the reality is at startups, things are changing so quickly, especially if you're doing earlier stage like Series A. So really focusing on short to midterm. And then the second thing I would say is really focusing on the fundamentals. I can appreciate it may not feel like the sexiest work on the planet, like making sure that you have like really good data integrity and making sure that you're compliant. You've got everything covered from a compliance perspective, but especially after going, you know, my last, you know, almost 2.5 years, in my previous role as head of people, I have such a greater appreciation for the importance and investing in that, because that is what everything else is built upon. So that's really where we're spending a lot of our time, is building out that roadmap of what are those fundamentals that we're going to focus and prioritize so that we can build and do eventually be able to do like the really fun, sexy stuff.
Personally, I have been in situations where you come in as a consultant because there's some HR emergency, and it's really basically just the waterfall effect of all this other stuff that has been done halfway or not at all for a really long time. So I know that CEOs and venture funds aren't always super excited about having HR, but those that do, they can really, if they invest in a consultant or a senior level HR person to come in and help set things up, it will really help eliminate headaches for the long term. It's an investment in the future. Yes. You can't just turn on HR and make everything work. There's a ramp up period. Yes. And you kind of have to like organize your closet. It takes time before, yes, like you have to do all that before you build the new closet system.
Yes, I think that's a really great way to put it, is you've got to organize the closet first.
Here we are. Let's take a reset. This is Jessica Miller Merrill, and you are listening to the Workology Podcast, powered by Ace the HR Exam and Upskill HR. We are talking about the role of the CHRO with Gabby Lorenzani, People Operations Consultant and founder of Gabrielle Lorenzani Consultant. The CHRO podcast series on Workology is sponsored by the HR Benchmark Survey. Text the word podcast to 512-548-3005. You can ask me questions, leave comments, and make suggestions for future guests. This is my community text number, and I want to hear from you.
Benchmarking and data is crucial to HR leaders. Workology's HR Benchmark Survey is an always-on survey, and just by taking the survey at hrbenchmarksurvey.com, you're signing up to get comprehensive quarterly results, white papers, and other research from the survey right to your inbox. It takes 10 minutes or less to complete. Visit hrbenchmarksurvey.com.
In your experience, is there a specific or kind of like a target size employee count when somebody needs to have somebody like you come into the organization? We'll just think high growth.
Yeah. I mean, I really think that by the time you hit, like you surpass 50 employees, definitely once you are getting closer to 100 is important, because typically I think it's right around 150 or so where stuff starts to break. And it's just a natural inflection point for a lot of high growth companies. And so the sooner you can bring somebody in or really invest, I love what you talked about, HR as an investment, and I 100% agree in that statement. The sooner you can bring them in so that they can, do all that kind of gap analysis and see what's the most important so that you can do the more scalable things when you're really in the thick of that high growth, the better. So I would say somewhere around between the 50 and 100 employee mark is really where you're going to want that type of expertise to come in.
So make a note. And I also think this is also good for HR leaders who are thinking about moving into a consultant role. What I also see a lot of, and I'm not an HR consultant expert, but I see people in the beginning who want to do everything. It's like, yes, I will work as a recruiting consultant. Yes, I will be a public speaker. Yes, I will be a consultant, and I will negotiate with your benefits broker, like on the side. But I think you're so smart to focus in one core area, because you can truly be the expert. And as an entrepreneur, multitasking it really takes away and it confuses people about what your actual area of expertise really is.
Yeah. And the other thing, if I can add, I find a lot of, if anyone else is like me, I'm very type A, was very much like usually the mindset of like, asking for, you got to figure everything out on your own. We're a startup. You had to be scrappy. One of the best things I did when I was at my most recent startup was one of my boss actually was like, you got to ask for what you need. And one of the things that I needed that I had no experience in was how do we scale an intentional remote first environment? That's where I got this kind of entry point into this world of HR consulting, because we ended up partnering with a brilliant remote first expert who helped build our roadmap for how do we onboard and grow to ultimately 200 employees. And at the time we were probably around like 75 or 100. How do we do that at scale in a remote environment? So it is important to ask for help. It is really valuable to have someone who's gone through this experience before and work with you in that kind of advisor capacity. So I did it. It was a really humbling experience and one of the most like important lessons that I learned. And I wish I had learned that lesson earlier in my career.
Yeah. You wouldn't hire someone to be HR who is a chef.
Yes.
So what? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. So I love that, that you can focus in a niche and bring in an expert, because now you can learn from the expert.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now you have that under your skill set as a chief people officer, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of now looking from the outside in and using your experience also as chief people officer, what do you think the biggest challenges for CHROs and HR leaders right now?
Man, I think if it's anything, it's like there's been so much new being thrown at us over the last 3 years, last 3 to 4 years between a pandemic. And then following that, we had, you know, vaccination requirements varied by state. Now we have pay transparency law. So there are all these things that are happening that have never been done before. And so I think the biggest challenge is going to be how HR leaders are, how they can lead through these changes, knowing that there isn't a playbook that they can go to their executive team and say, if you take option A, this is what the result is going to be. If you take option B, this is what the result is going to be. So really being able to be the navigators and using those influencing skills to ultimately do whatever the right thing is for the business. And I always go back to whatever makes the most sense based on the business's values and its culture as well. So I think just navigating all this new and all this change, it's just going to keep coming. And that will be the biggest challenge for HR leaders.
Now we got like AI, everybody's talking about ChatGPT. Yes. There's all this new HR technology coming in. I mean, I like your suggestion to just bring in the expert, right? I mean, as a consultant, we can invest time and to become experts or through projects and work that we do so that you can tap into that person or that person's brain and kind of grab what you need. Mm-hmm. Because it is, I'm overwhelmed as a consultant, a business owner myself, I can't imagine being in a chief HR officer role and being expected to be the expert in all these things that seem to be changing every single week.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It is. And you're right. And we hired a couple others who were very deep experts in certain areas. So it is really important to know and be aware of, here's what I know really well, and here's areas that I don't. And there are a lot of really smart, capable people who can help and support you navigate through it.
So going back to your sort of foray into HR consultant, let's talk about how you're choosing the projects and companies that you work with, and maybe walk us through maybe some of the criteria you're using to determine whether or not someone is a good fit for you, because this is an important component of your business.
Yeah. Yeah. So a big one, so far I've been really lucky where a lot of the folks I'm working with a lot of them are folks I've worked with over the last 12 years. So may not have worked with them in about 7 years, depending on how long it's been, but it's folks in my network. And so that helps because, I know like this can be an unpopular thing to say when you're thinking about interviewing and you're supposed to go off of like really concrete things, but I always am a big believer. You know, just talking to a friend about this, who's also in HR the other day, like vibes matter, like how you connect with somebody, they do make a difference. So first and foremost is like, how are we going to work together, me and the client? Is this a good, is this like a solid working relationship? Is there any sort of like tension or this like, does something feel off? And I think that's so important, especially as a consultant. I want to make sure that the relationship and the scope is going to be set up for success for both me and the client. And so that's first and foremost is, do I feel like a good connection with the person who's going to be my client? The second is making sure we have real scope for a project. So one of the biggest pieces of advice before I got started was make sure that there's shared understanding and very clear, a lot of clarity between you and your client and alignment on what it is you're doing and what you're delivering. A lot of times clients, you know, some prospective clients I was talking to were like, I might need a little help with this and a little help with that. Like, I just want to create some space just in case they need to pull you in. I appreciate that they have that trust and faith in me. I also realize it's really important. That's really what I drive home with them is we need to have a scope of work because I want to make sure that I am delivering exactly what you need. And that is going to set you up for success and me up for success. So that's been like the biggest kind of the biggest like important thing I've been doing as I've been kind of chatting with prospective clients.
I love the boundaries and the scope of work because even today I had a conversation with somebody. I'm putting together a proposal and they're like, here are these things. Oh, and by the way, you're an expert, you know, we're in Europe, we're going to launch in the United States. And I'd love to do these things. I tend to attract HR technology companies because of the community that we have. A lot of them come from Europe and Asia and want to come to the US. They've tried often. And they'll bring me in to help because I really focus mostly on North America.
Yeah.
But then they're like, and we need some help with these seven things. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, we'll try to put that out. But I have learned because if you don't, then there's this whole uncomfortable conversation about payment, like hours consulting. Yes. Like, because if you invest 5 hours of your time as an HR expert in this area, maybe you're also going to launch an employee survey or something, put that together. Like it wasn't clear about what the cost, the money that you would be receiving for that.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So it is so important. And that is the biggest is like, are we on the same page when it comes to being very clear, having the shared context? And if not, then it may not be I may not be the right fit for them. They may need someone who can give them kind of that breadth and flexibility.
What is the most challenging thing about launching a new business as an entrepreneur in the HR consulting space? I mean, are you working mostly with CEOs or are you coming in and supporting HR? But I mean, first, what's the most challenging thing that you've experienced?
So for me, it was like just getting started. It was just like ripping, like I said, I'm pretty like type A, I'm risk averse. So just like taking the leap. I've talked to a lot of people since I've made the decision to transition into consulting who have said, I've always wanted to do this. You're so brave. And it's like, I'm a little chicken. I'm scared. This is uncomfortable and new. So the first thing is just doing it for sure was the most challenging thing. And I think the second part for me, and this is just more like based on my personality, is more of like the business development side. So like I said, I'm really fortunate that a lot of my, you know, my leads and clients are folks who I've worked with before. At some point I need to push myself out of my comfort zone and really start investing time in business development and getting more comfortable with putting my name out and marketing myself. So that for sure is the most uncomfortable part of and most challenging part for me of this journey.
I still have challenges with the business development side. It's like, how do you ask for business? How do you let people know? How do you tell people, hey, this has been a fun conversation, but it's not going anywhere for me?
Yes.
That is incredibly hard for me, especially when people are like, oh, I know you from the internet, or I listen to your podcast. Like I was telling some of the number of emails that I get from people who want for me to have someone on the podcast, it's some vendor or someone's trying to say, hey, you know, we can help you with your recruiting. Like at some point I have to say like, this isn't how I work. And sometimes people get offended, but I guess that's their problem.
Yes.
Not mine. I mean, we have to pay the bills. Magic money doesn't just deposit into our bank account anymore every 2 weeks. It's like that number. I'm always thinking like, okay, what is coming And yes. then how am I going to make my payroll? Because it's coming out of my bank account, not the company, yes. well, the company's bank account, but it's my company. So, yeah. and that number gets bigger as your organization gets bigger. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who had like, I think he sold his business since, but it was like a 20 million a month or something payroll that he was in a consulting HR consulting business. They were mm-hmm. doing recruitment consulting. I'm like, oh my God, it's killing me just like $9,000 yeah. a month where I'm paying one person. So
yeah.
I can't imagine like Xing that, you know, I don't know how much that number was, but substantially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's switch gears and maybe talk about career advice. So maybe thinking about like stepping into that chief people officer role, what do you feel like was the best career advice that you've ever received that has really influenced you into the HR person that you are now?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think the best advice I've ever gotten is from a former CEO that I worked with also at Danone. So clearly that was a very lasting impression on me. And she said something around, I want to get it right, that when you're thinking about making a career shift or doing something new, it's really important to remember to keep one foot in something that you know and is familiar, rather than jumping with both your feet into something completely new. And at the time I was thinking about like, do I want to go abroad and do like an international experience? And it was a different business unit, slightly different job. And so the way that I've applied that advice for me has been like how I think about my career changes that I've made. And so when I left Danone and I joined my second company, a lot of people would say, oh, why did she take that role? That was a lateral move. But for me, it was as a business partner, it was client groups I already knew really well, but I'd never worked in tech before, ever. And I'd never worked in the company I think was maybe 8 years old. So wanting to keep a foot in something that I knew and felt really confident in. At the same time, I was moving from New Jersey to Austin. It was just a lot of changes. So I think that's the best piece of advice that's worked really well for me is keeping a foot in something that I feel comfortable and confident in, rather than jumping with both my feet into all new things. And for me, getting like overwhelmed and not probably being set up for success.
I love that your advice came from a CEO.
Yeah.
And not a head of HR or, mm-hmm. you know, your mom, no yeah. offense, mom, yeah. but like, I think it's so great to have a mentor who is, in that chief executive officer level role, because they can really help give you insights into what they want, and need from their HR person and their partner
yeah.
in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually never thought of it that way. I think that's a really insightful like way to think about it.
Yeah. Well, I did another podcast interview and I'll link to it in the show notes from Dona Costa. She's the chief people officer from Gordon Ramsay Restaurant Group. And she also, her career advice and relationship with her CEO was really influential. So much so that when he moved to Gordon Ramsay, she left her job wow. and moved over with him. So these relationships with other executives, and, you know, business professionals are really important. And I think yes. having a team, even if you're not on the same team, to help support each other is really important.
Yeah. Agree. Couldn't agree more.
Well, Gabby, thank you so much for chatting with us. Where can people go to connect with you about your consulting? Where's the best place to go?
Yeah. You can find me at GabrielleLorestaniConsulting.com or you can find me on LinkedIn at Gabrielle Lorestani.
We'll link to the consulting company website as well as LinkedIn and then the other podcasts that I've mentioned. But I so appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for joining the Workology podcast. This is part of our CHRO series on Workology, and it is sponsored by HR Benchmark Survey. You can go to hrbenchmarksurvey.com and take our survey. I loved this interview. It's really interesting to dive into HR leadership, and how consultancy can help support the organization and strategy of the people business. Supporting workplace leaders is challenging when you're doing it in-house, and engaging a consultant like Gabby can really allow an organization to have a fresh set of eyes when looking at programs and processes. I appreciate Gabby taking the time to share her expertise and experience with us today. Also, if you are moving into or thinking about moving into an HR consultant role, I think this podcast interview was fire for that. If you have suggestions or ideas, or just want to talk shop with me, text the word podcast to 512-548-3005. Ask me questions, leave comments, make suggestions for future guests. This is my community text number, and I want to hear from you. Also, thank you for joining and listening to the Workology podcast, powered by Upskill HR and Ace the HR Exam. This podcast is for the disruptive workplace leader who is tired of the status quo. My name is Jessica Miller-Merrill. Until next time, you can visit workology.com to listen to all our previous Workology podcast episodes. Have a great day, and I'll see you soon.